you in terms of what the review will be?
To extend some stuff here and allow the presentation to go. I think one of the purpose of structures in an organization or in such is to impact positively on policy. Our structures that we've adopted must assist us to improve policy. If they don't, then they need to be reviewed. And one of our findings has been that not all of them assist us to improve policy. And hence, the review. Secondly, when structures are approved, they are subject to evaluation, and they are supposed to be evaluated simply because earlier on I related to modus operandi changes. If modus operandi changes come, they will also impact on the structures, and if they are not evaluated, you can no longer confirm whether they are actually still relevant and aligned to improving policy. Thirdly, it's alignment to the personnel plan and as well as affordability. One of the discoveries has been that the structures which were approved but not accommodated in the personnel plan, which then means that particular structure is going to shift personnel somewhere else to somewhere else because you do not have a new provision in the personnel plan. And there's few examples of those that certain structures were approved in the organization, posts were advertised, people applied from the police stations, and those posts were not reinstated back to the police stations, and hence disabling the police station. So you bring the one structure to kill the other one, and it became a worse problem if police stations are the ones that are on the receiving end, and they've been on the receiving end for a number of years. And one of the directives that I've given has been that if there's any call for a new work study, one, I need to approve it. I want to see the motivation. And two, for any structure to be approved, no migration from the police stations. Because police stations must still remain capable of doing policing. The last one, Chair, was the upward migration. I think our structures follow the upward migration instead of the downward migration into the triangle. And hence, the purpose of this rationalization is to migrate resources from the strategic framework down to the local policing framework, which I think is the core of this particular restructuring. But then with your permission, Chair, I will then afford the opportunity to Major General Makhatu, who is going to lead the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson, and the members in this House. We'll try to be very short and brief, but without compromising the intention of this communication or this presentation. We will take you through the presentation on the microstructures at national, at provincial, at clusters, and the police station that we have done. We will also indicate what are the outcome of the restructure in which we use the principle of rationalization as prescribed by the public service. And we will focus specifically for now on the number of SMS that are affected by the rationalization process. We can go to the next one. Now, I think we were also here earlier in the year and even in last year when we were indicating what are the demands for policing at local level and the shortfall that we are experiencing to meet that demand. And we have come to peace that we have to do with what we have, but also with what we have take the resources to local level, because the demand is too huge. We also have to streamline some of the structures at national and in the provinces in the form of what we call it work reorganization. That would mean certain functions which were performed by more than one environment would now be performed by one environment so that we are able to release the resources. We can go to the next one. Go back again. Just reflect it in totality. Now the process that we went on in doing the rationalization was informed by a diagnostic processes that was started in 2017 in June, which also was informed by a number of assessments that were done at various levels, from police station to the current clusters and even at head office. And we did a design. We did some consultation at SSSPC. We consulted internally within the management. We are now consulting or maybe informing the portfolio committee. And what it's left maybe would be to reconfirm the product with the minister and the national commissioner for authentication and implementation. Already the implementation plan is ready. I think from today, if everything is fine, a national commissioner can give a direction for implementation of some of the aspects of the restructuring program. The next one. Now, I will not take much time on this specific one. This is where we are at head office in Pretoria, the structure. What I can do highlight in terms of this one, it's over and above the national commissioner, we've got 5 deputy national commissioners and the national head of management services, which is also a deputy national commissioner. It is 6. We've got close to 18 divisions and a number of components. So that is the structure that we have in currently that was approved. And the structure that we would love to move to is the next one. It's this one. Now this one, it reduces the 6 deputy national commissioner into 4. Immediately we have sacrificed 2 deputy national commissioners, and I'll try to take you through that. I would love to start with the national commissioner. On the extreme right of the national commissioner structures, you still have the divisional commissioner inspectorate, which was in previously the management intervention, a deputy national commissioner. We have now rescaled it to a division. And then we've got the chief financial office, which was in the previous structure under a deputy national commissioner, asset and police and policy. It is now reporting directly to the national commissioner as an equivalent of a division, not a DNC. From the auditor's report, we have been advised that our risk management processes are not properly structured, and we are looking into establishing the chief risk office. The work study is still on. That will determine the level, proper functionings, and the reporting mechanism. But so far, it reports direct to the national commissioner. We, on the extreme left, again, of the national commissioner, we've got the divisional commissioner legal services. It's been escalated from a deputy national outfit. It is now directly reporting to the national commissioner. We've got the provincial commissioner. We've got the crime registrar as defined by policy, South African policy, that the crime registrar must report direct to the national commissioner. And then we've got also the executive support. These are in the office of the national commissioner. The extreme light right of the deputy national commissioners, we've got the deputy national commissioner, management advisory services, with technology management services. Now, technology management services, if you can look at see it, it has got a dotted blue line or purple line. The purple line where you see it in all the structure says there it's ongoing feasibility study to further rationalize it in the long term. Now, the rationalization of it can be on three things. There could be issues of process that must be streamlined. There could be issues of the post and the number, and there could be issues of the mandate that must be streamlined. So that work is ongoing. It's got the head strategic management, it's got the head organizational development, it's got the head research. Research in the past was part of the management intervention at a divisional level equivalent, and we have brought it to the level of a component level. And then we've got the head corporate communication and liaison. The second deputy national commissioner is corporate services, which is human resource management. The other one is the divisional commissioner, human resource division. Now, human resource division development, it is also shaded blue with dotted line, which is under long-term rationalization. It has grown to such an extent that we must actually find out and do a thorough rationalization study to inform management what decision, structural decision must be taken, which will also include policy and process decisions. Now, in the human resource management, we had in the past personnel management and human resource utilization. We have merged the two. That is part of work reorganization that we did. And we've got the component auxiliary services, which in the past formed part of finance and administration. It is relevantly located within the corporate services. The third deputy national commissioner is crime detection, with detective services, forensic services, and crime intelligence. Now, both forensic services and crime intelligence are also having the long-term rationalization process underway. And already, without going further, there are issues. I think the previous presentation indicated the strategic direction that they are looking at, and we are also looking at the strategic relocation of resources at local level. The same as for forensic services. Now, some of the forensic services, if I have to mention, it is those functions that can only be are only being performed at head office, but which serves people at local level. And we believe that there is no point that this function must be performed at head office. They must be serviced at local level. And there is a lot of agreement that we have reached in terms of those specific things. For service access and spontaneous service delivery, it's a good decision to make. Then we've got the Deputy National Commissioner Policing with VSPOL and Operational Response Services. I have left the extreme left of the structure, the two environment. The first one was the National Head Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation. It still stands as per legislation, reporting to the minister with a implicit relationship to the National Commissioner. Currently, the DPCI, because the head was appointed recently, was not part of this rationalization. The bigger part of rationalization is following after this strategic structure to also rationalize and purify their functioning, and therefore. Then we've got the then Division Protection and Security Services, which we are now referring it as the Directorate for Protection and Security Services. I think the message here is we would want to isolate it and begin to see how far can we go in developing a new and better and proper dispensation for protection and security services in the country. And I think it is placed that in that fashion so that we are able to have specific attention to it. Can we go to the next one? Now, the next slide indicates what the outcome of this rationalization. If you look at the block that says the posts, the current number of posts, the proposed number of posts, and the available for reallocation. We say currently we had, in terms of the approved structure, the Deputy National Commissioners, they are 5. We are proposing that we remain with 3. 2 of them are the opportunity for de-escalation or utilizing the resource elsewhere other than at head office. We had the National Head Management Advisory Services. In terms of the structure, it was not defined as A, but it is a Deputy National Commissioner, and it remains as a Deputy National Commissioner.
General Kenry, maybe in terms of the presentation, except this is held by the members, it was distributed, so just maybe high level that we move on.
All right.
I think the principle of reallocation is established.
Okay, thank you. In terms of that structure, your SMS at head office, we are able to rationalize 97 posts that are in the basket for National Commissioner and his management to say where can we redeploy this, where they can be able to provide service at the coal face, local level. We can go to the next one. The next one is the provincial structure. It also looks like that. It had 5 deputy provincial commissioners. I would not talk about the provincial head, DPCI, and the other environment and the management intervention because it's no longer there. We can go to the next structure. The new structure that we are proposing, we're remaining with 4 instead of 5. The structures at the top right and at the top left of the provincial commissioners are defined as those that are national competency structures, which are in some way legislated or have a legal framework for them to become national one. We cannot change anything much about them. And there are those that are operating under the office of the provincial commissioners, which we felt that they are okay. The provincial head, legal services, organizational development, inspectorate, and corporate communication report to the national commissioner because they are national provincial outfit. Now we will remain with the 4 deputy provincial commissioners for corporate services, asset management, which includes supply chain management, financial management, and TMS, policing, a detective, a deputy provincial commissioner. We will have a differentiation in all the provinces because all the provinces do not have the extent of investigative focus the same. But in general, you would have organized crime, provincial head, commercial crime investigation, criminal record and crime scene management. You will have crime intelligence, investigation, general crime investigation, specific crime investigation, and you will have FCS. We have also brought in the provincial head crime intelligence under the direct command of the provincial commissioner, as different from what it was in the past when they were reporting nationally. And then the policing, you would have VISPOL, that's the last one, operational response services, operational command center, and in certain provinces you will have rapid response services. Now the rapid response services are currently, it's only currently in Gauteng. We want to establish that in the other four big provinces, Eastern Cape, Western Cape, and KZN. We can go to the next one. The same as was in head office, we had 243 SMS posts in all the provinces. We think that we can do with 201. So we've got 36 posts that we can rationalize moving forward. Now the next slide, maybe just a short brief, it's the cluster and the police station. Remember at some point we closed the area and then later we came and opened the cluster, 176 of them, and we did an assessment, we came up with 180. We did the same assessment last year, and the outcome of the assessment is what I'm going to talk to quickly now. We discovered a number of discrepancies with regards to the 118 clusters. There were too many to manage, and there were very infrastructural challenges that we could not, and also performance issues that we could not confirm. But we also piloted the OCC, which we felt that it is very important that it will become our nucleus of dealing with crime at local level. We had the enabling structure that we implemented, which we assessed, we felt that we should enhance it, and we believe that we have to align our clusters with the municipal district or metropole. And we identified the roles and responsibilities and more delegation given to the clusters and additional functionalities also given to the clusters. We will indicate to you when we come to the structures. We also wanted to indicate that in the recent past there was talks of establishing regions when we were still working on the clusters. After the assessment and the feasibility studies on the regions, we came to a conclusion that we are not going to continue with the establishment of regions. The outfit that we are coming up of the clusters is the ultimate. We cannot have any other layer. So the question of regions is no longer on the table anymore. So we will talk of clusters moving forward to what I will indicate earlier on what we think the cluster should be. Can go to the next one. This is how the current cluster is structured with remnants of indirect and implicit relationship, working relationship with the provinces and other units, which we were not able to implement appropriately. And the enabling was not what was approved. What was approved was a different structure, and we're bringing it back. And that is the next slide of what we are bringing back. Now, when we did the evaluation of the cluster, this is the random samples of the number of clusters that we have sampled and some of the findings. We did 52% of the major general clusters sample and evaluation, 4% of those that were kennels, and 85% of the brigadier ones. And we came up with this structure. The cluster report direct to the provincial commissioner, and we would want to call them a district, because they are aligned with the municipal district, in some cases with the metropolitan. And underneath them, they would have, if we start with the extreme left, our flagship of multi-operational tasking groups would be the operational command centers, where you would have your TRT, your POPs, stock theft units, and many other units. Now, in there, what I would want to emphasize, we are now introducing a direct command at that level, local level, of plus minus 17,000, which was not there in the past. We're shifting it from the authority that was at head office and in the province, and we give it to the cluster. So it's plus minus 17,000 members of the police that would be directed and operated directly with the stations and the cluster commander. They would also have the visible policing as the district commander, and then with visible compliance and corporate operational planning. Within the detectives, we would also have investigative compliance and operational planning. We are now reinstituting crime intelligence at that environment as well. And as we assess and evaluate after a period 6 months or 12 months later, we believe that with what the crime intelligence turnaround strategies, we will be able to be definite of actually what would be the future makeup given the modus operandi at the time. And then we're rebuilding support services. Now, these support services also goes with certain delegations that the district commissioner must have, so that they are able to support the police stations immediately with the specific authority that they are having. So, short message from the cluster: when we implement these structures, we will no longer talk about the cluster commander. We will be talking about the district commissioners, which are aligned with your district municipalities and metropolitan and magisterial districts. Now, the advantage of this is you are having a coordinated and streamlined management agenda on issues of crime at that level. While I can further say that on issues of planning or integrated planning at the local level, because we would want to form part of that agenda at that specific level. We can go to the next one. Now, this next one says we had 118 clusters that we had to rationalize. And those 118, we came up to 52. It's a huge number that we have utilize, so that we are able to utilize the resources that we are having efficiently. So the 52 clusters are divided into the province according to the numbers that are given into the pie chart there. There are disparities in each province given the demographic outlay of each province and the number of police stations. I think it will be part of the ongoing. We can be between 52 to 70. But for now, we've come up with 52. We've requested the province that as we evaluate and assess maybe some metros, because they are too huge, we may have, instead of having one district, we may have two districts and whatever it is. So that is part of the ongoing exercise. In the clusters, currently we were having the SMS 191. We can do with 152. So we've got 39 SMS that we can rationalize. The Then we moved to the police station. Now the police station, just to be very short, we had 1,146 police stations. Of those total, 30 of those police stations have been identified as crime weight station or hotspot police stations. And crime is not normal at those police stations. And management took a decision that we must do something unusual to deal with crime at those police stations. And the, some of the unusual, I think national commissioners and the minister have already pronounced, and we were able to ascertain and reconfirm the unusual that can happen at those police stations. And the police stations would be given a different recognition than an ordinary police station with special attention for them to deal with crime. And I think of all the 30 police stations, they comprise more than 50% of the crime in the country. I think if we are able to deal with that, the better for us. The slide there talks to their crime weights, how they are defined in terms of the specific categories of crime. We can go to the next one. Not be able to explain that one. This was the structure that we had for the police stations in the country, the bigger police station. We realized that it, even though it was good to have a structure that indicates what must happen at a police station, it was a complicated structure for the station management to understand what it is. And it had labor relations issues that when people are placed in a specific block, they will not be able to do the work that belongs to another block because it becomes a labor relation matter. So we created a very simple and flat structure, which is like this. At the police station, we've got the station commissioners. We know that there are inputs of putting a deputy station commissioner. I think we will look into terms of the facing and starting with the biggest police station, whatever it is, as and when the post becomes available or we are able to rationalize certain positions, that is on course. You would have visible policing commander, detective service commander, and support commanders. And all those people at the police station, they will be located within these three categories, than the 45 categories that we have. Then you've got a big pool of personnel to utilize with multi-skilling programs taking you through. We can go to the next one. the senior appointments that took place. Governor will talk to that one, General Governor. Maybe before he gets to this one, for General Governor to talk to the senior appointment. The last one, the 30 police station national commissioner probably will expatiate on those specific issues. Those 30 police stations that we have identified, we've got their names, the provincial commissioners were consulted, and the national commissioner will make special dispensations. For instance, he may place major generals, and when he places major generals, there are also additional resources placed. It is not just to put a major general and think that crime will go down. The capacity below, we have made an assessment in terms of what the capacity required underneath for those police stations. We have identified the number of posts that are vacant at those police stations plus other places that we will advertise to fill those posts. We are not creating any new additional posts. We are doing with what we are having. Thank you very much.
General Stoller, you don't want to add anything at this stage. Let's go to the questions. Thank you for the presentation. Yes, I've got two questions and then I'll go to the members. The first thing is, how does this structure links to the NDP in terms of what is envisaged in the NDP? Secondly, I mean, I've listened to the input and what value does cluster commanders really bring to SAPS? I'm just asking that question. Because if I go to stations, you immediately know it's a good station, you meet the station commander, outstanding. And of course, we as a committee, we visit a lot of stations. We also see station commanders that's not up to scratch. But I mean, what is the impact of the cluster? So can we maybe have reasons, really scientific reasons, what will this add, what real value will it bring to the table? Honourable Mabitcha.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have only two questions. The first one is, are you going to implement these changes, making usage of vetted officers and those with a capacity who are competent, who match the task? And the second one is this movement implemented with intact remuneration. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for your presentation. On this rationalization of head office, 97 are going to be reallocated. What are you saying? Are you demoting them? Or are they going to be properly placed? My second question, is this thing of acting in the post, like if there is a vacant post, someone is suspended or is acting into another post, when you appoint a person to act, are you not looking in that department if there is a person who fits to be acting, or you take another person from another department and put him in this department which she knows or he doesn't know, when that acting person comes to this department he makes a chop and change, and then if this person in his post, you put another person to act. How are you doing? Are they earning a salary of acting or what? Or when you appoint a person to act, you appoint a person on the same level to the other one. So I'm asking this because these people, they when you appoint a permanent person there, he or she must come and do she must do or the damage control that is made by the person. Why can't you take the person from the same department and act on the post? This changing from I don't know, or from HRM to what? I don't understand what is the procedure of acting. Thank you, Chip.
Honorable
Mr. Chairperson, you know, it's a pity that we are not having the union reps so that we can get to the spirit. In essence, the reason why I'm raising that, Chairperson, is I've been very much concerned about what I normally call the wars of general at head office level. When you get someone else taking the position and this one wants to get rid of this one, and whether for good or bad reasons, nobody knows. But the people that can also help us at most are the unions. Maybe you asked a very good question. In terms of the long-term planning, where does it fit in terms of the long-term planning? So that you don't get rapid cut and paste going on, because these things, according to me, can escalate to instability into the organization as a whole if not properly managed. But I'm sure that you will get as these members of these unions, so that we also get their feel. What is it? Has there been a consensus on these things? And if we take out these senior managers, have we identified that these people are going to reinforce service delivery at this particular area, informed by this gap that we have identified? unfortunately, I didn't get that to say this is where now, for example, if we rationalize SMS at head office level, this is where we think they can be better placed. Is it at provincial, at district, at station level, based on availability of posts that are in line with their current ranks that they are holding? I think we need to get that loud and clear so that we are able to actually say what is it that we are actually then doing here, rather than taking these people down there for them to go with their horse from head office level and bring them down to the local level to create more instability at the local level because they are fighting their head. We need to be very clear there. So that's why then I said it will be very short, so that it's a rationalization that is informed by substance rather than egos of certain individuals that are on a driving seat at that point. I'm raising that because you know what, General Mpushana, within how many months, 2 months or 1 month, when he just came to the office and said, no, I'm moving these people down there, and he's bringing his wife, his girlfriends, everything. Now, let's not actually then run the organization like that. Let us say, this is a requirement. These people, this general is good, we think can actually bring material change at this particular level, so that we don't take your problems out of head office and implant them down there to suffocate communities at local level. Thank you.
So I was just thinking, because we've invited the unions, but they must be very happy with the new structure, the fact that they're not here. So if they were unhappy, they would have been here at 9 o'clock already, but we've invited them. I'll come back to you, Honorable Mulabatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, finally we're getting somewhere to address our long-standing problem of a top-heavy structure at head office. Though not that much, but there is a good move. My first question is now on this. What is the difference between regional commissioners in what is this other one? The divisional commissioner. To me, they sound the same. And my other point is on this district commissioners that are now coming in. You see, it's not the question of a name. When you change from area commissioners, you're trying to bring some effectiveness into the structure. It went to clusters, and then nothing happened. And now we're changing to district. My point is, it is not the name. It is the does the structure have teeth? That is my problem. Now my next question is on. Tell us what I didn't hear well. What you said about the deputy station commissioners, commander. Thanks, Chair.
Mulabatsi, Honourable Robert Akani.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair, and thanks for the presentation. Just a few issues for me. I think that the support of redeployment of senior police officers, the cold face of crime, is supported, generally supported, because you need to have most experienced police actually leading those constables at the local level. That's the only way that you'll have a sustainable policing model that gives you results. So that at the level of principle, I think I support that. I mean, when this happened a few years ago in the Western Cape, there were fight back. The senior police officers who were directors sitting at the air condition officers in Cape Town were not happy to be sent to stations because it was seen as a demotion, even though you have you go around there with your title of a director. But it was seen as a demotion. Suddenly, the life changes from air conditioning to a park home, so just simply fiber grade police station. That created lots of anxieties. Even though the model was, the intention of it was good, I'm wondering whether the same thing is going to come around. So at the first level, Chair, my reaction was that I think we do need to see senior police officers leading the fight against crime. What model then you use is a debatable question. Because I don't know, General. My sense from where I'm sitting, I don't think that there has been fully commitment and support of management for the cluster to make sure that cluster works. You can use it now as unmanageable, but there's never been a commitment to actually make sure that the method of devolving policing to the lowest level actually have resources. Even though the model is good, the cluster model is good because it brings the resources closer to people, it cuts the distance from the main station to where the crime happens. But now you're saying we're going to reduce it because the 118 has given us a problem. But actually the answer doesn't lie there. The answer lies as to whether there was a full support from management for that to happen, for the effective cluster. We have engagement with a retired General Cruiser sometime, Gary. He would say, well, this is not actually working. But you know, I'm going to hear exactly what is not working. For me, the working was a support, where the management had a full support to it. Now, General, the method now, the model that you are bringing in, you didn't say where it comes from. Where do you get this from? Is it a work study, workable structure that you think is workable, it's not informed? I mean, if you look at the last few years, I went to China, maybe 10 years ago or 9 years ago, to look at the Chinese model, policing model, community policing model. It's different. It's located. It's broken down into a small part in communities with an office and infrastructure to be able to deal with crime there. District commissioner. You have a cluster at the district level. I don't know whether that one is going to work. I'm not sure whether it's going to work. I don't know whether we're not creating lots of work for work studies and all of these to come up with a model, because I don't hear the flip side to say, for this what we had to work, this what we needed to do. I'm hearing much. We are changing it from this to that. Maybe the document, the narrative for diagnosis will maybe tell us, because this is just a slideshow. But it will be interesting to read it, to see what it is. Let me leave that aside, but saying that, Chair, that I don't know. Let me ask this Commissioner. Well, something I would really ask about the title, whether the person will work with the title. It's assumptions. So my assumption is that yes, it's going to be, but there is going to be fight back on that. But can I ask this, whether this, and reducing from 6 to 4, I don't think there's a problem with that, because at least that's management at the top level. But I must say, I have my misgiving about the cluster, this bring it down into, because I don't know whether the policing infrastructure, as we speak today, is aligned to the policing model we are bringing, or whether you still have a cross boundaries on the district in terms of the district currently with the old police infrastructure in the country. What effect is that going to be? Because there has to be that kind of a full-fledged discussion. The last question that I want to ask, you know, the area commissioners, we come from those areas before. So there's some 10 that is gravitating to the area commissioners, but we have a different title today. The title is a district commissioner, not the area commissioner. But maybe, I don't know, I'm not necessarily shooting it down, I'm raising the issues that management has to consider, because I think we don't have good structures here, but there is a lot of issues. But generally, the staff going to the province, in fact, even the provincial structure, because if you align it to the national, I think it's going to be good, but there are issues. General, the last part in short, I just hope that this restructuring has got no negative implication to the long-awaited those officers who found themselves shortchanged with the previous allocations of ranks. I just think that this is not going to affect them, because I don't know this can affect them if you're talking about this rationalization and downsizing. That's the word used, downsizing here. Whether the downsizing, how does the downsizing affect the kind of re-ranking part of it, of those that were supposed to wait for re-ranking? I'm just concerned about what is not said in the restructuring. It may have a spanner in the wheel in terms of that. Whilst I'm a supporter, general, I'm a very supporter that I know those officers that during the period that they have been around. And I know their cry, and I know what they've been saying, and I know what they've been doing. They just have been had shortchanged. I think that in your tenure, you have to bring peace to that. That's all I said.
Thank you. Mr. Gandhi, on the thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think I've got much to say here. I'm not actually interested in the boxes that are here being changed, and the other day, what I'm interested in is what it will do. Is it going to bring a change? Well, I mean, we can't predict, but as long as the top management is being deployed to where they are needed, I think I will be satisfied. Well, there's always trial and error, but let's minimize trial and error. We have seen trial and error for a very long time. As long as it will work, just make it work, I think I will be satisfied. If I was to say, when I grew up, there was never a beautiful policeman. They were all very ugly. That's why the criminals were very afraid of them. So in whatever you do, let those ugly ones go down where the criminals are. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mark, is Honorable. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it would be interesting if there was ever a Mr. and Ms. Saps pageant to see how many. Yeah.
A handful of questions, Chair, from my side.
Yes.
On the first point, I also share Honourable Ramatlakane's concern about the district commissioner concept and model. I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, I like that it speaks explicitly to the alignment of policing operational boundaries with municipal demarcations. I think there is still a problem at ward level, because I'm aware of a number of instances where one ward overlaps or is spread over three policing precincts. So one ward councillor is having to sit on three different CPFs because of how all those boundaries intersect. So I think that still needs to be looked at a local level. But just the idea that, you know, policing, the police's mental map also aligns with a municipal, I think, is a good one. But on the other hand, I'm very, very worried that the districts are going to be too big, too cumbersome, and there was already an issue, the one that I know of, just because it was close to my constituency, was when the initially 25 clusters in the Western Cape were reduced to 16 about 2 or 3 years ago, because you do need for policing to be as localized as possible so that it can be responsive to local contexts. So I think I have two questions in relation to that shift from clusters to districts. The first is, given that the posts attached to each, you're going to be going from 118 cluster commanders to 52 district commissioners. What's going to happen with the surplus from the latter? I know there's a whole reallocation happening, but is there a clear and specific plan of what you're going to do with more than half of the officers who are currently cluster commanders? There's no space for them to be district commissioners. So where do they slot in? And then I'm just wondering if, although it doesn't say anything in the presentation, is there going to be some sort of level, organizationally thinking or speaking, between district level and station level? Because right now it's clear. You go national, provincial, cluster, station. So it sounds like we're going to go national, provincial, district, station. And that sounds like a very big gap between districts and station. I think we need clarity on that. Second question, could we just get, please, a re-explanation of the point made, because it wasn't in the text of the PowerPoint. A re-explanation of this notion that 17,000 personnel are going to be placed under direct command at station level. I didn't quite grasp that. If I could just get some clarity and re-explanation for me to let that sink in. Third question, Chair, and this one is quite crucial, and it comes out of the oversights we did at the Inanda station on Monday. Provincial components are not seemingly captured in this proposed before. And the reason there's a concern there is because, for example, with the fleet procurement that happened from last year and vehicles being deployed to stations, still unmarked, but at least they're there. As I understand, provincial components like the FCS units, for example, have not benefited from that. So because they are considered to be provincial components, they have to deal with provincial, what's it called? I'm not sure if it's support services or SCM or whatever it is. But they aren't in that pipeline that the stations benefited from with vehicles. So we have FCS investigators with old vehicles, vehicles that are prone to break down. And so even though you will have FCS investigators at the same normally accounting station as the normal investigators, the disparity in the equipping and the provisioning is slowly widening. So how are provincial components being catered for in this restructuring and the resource reallocation? And then last two questions here. Very quickly, on slide 8, I just need clarity on whether there's a typo or I'm missing something. On slide 8, it talks about how there'll be 11 divisional commissioners in the new structure. But in the organogram on slide 9, sorry, was it 9? No, sorry, the one before that. On slide 7, I could only count 10 divisional commissioners in those boxes. If I can just get some clarity on whether I've missed one of them or there was a mislabeling that's not pointing out who the 11th one is. And then finally, slide 17, it's a very detailed question, but it just jumped out at me. I see there's talk that 50 of the districts will be at Major General level and 2 at the level of Brigadier, 1 Northern Cape, 1 Western Cape. Am I correct in assuming that the 1 Western Cape one is the city of Cape Town, given that it's the metro in the province and has about 70% of the population, and therefore might warrant, I'm not sure. And then which is the district in the Northern Cape that's going to be Brigadier level? Those just stood out for me because they were the exceptions. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable Mabija, you indicated you want to add another one.
Chairperson, if that is not a new input or question, something just crossed my mind. We are seated here without dealing with restructuring of union members, and unions are not here, and we are not even certain how this labor consultation ended. What is negative was, did it have negative understanding from unions, or if the subs agreed, had an agreement with labor? And because you might find that seated here, there's something negative that to this restructuring, something that we won't even be able to control after this discussion. So I would like to know if there is any reason for the absence of unions here. And maybe if the first response from the delegation here should be to put our minds at ease and our intelligence at ease so that we do not run a futile exercise discussing a restructuring that will cause problems for us as a portfolio committee.
On that thing, I just want to repeat what I said previously today. The committee invited the unions, as usual, but we didn't receive any input the week before the time, as usual, and they didn't pitch this morning. But the reason is we can't say, but maybe SAPS must deal with the issue of the labor process. Right, members, we really have got not a lot of time, so that's all the questions. Let's go to the National Commissioner and his team. Thank you. General Sithole.
Thank you very much. Maybe, Chair, due to the complexity and diversity of the subject, I would like the Chair to allow me to read 3 quotes. And with your permission, one is from Charles Darwin. It is not the strongest of the species that survive, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change. The second one is Nelson Mandela. One of the things I learned when I was negotiating was that until I changed myself, I could not change others. The last one is from Octavia Paz. Wisdom lies neither in fixity nor in change, but in a dialectic between the two. And Chair, I would like to first ask the Labour Relations Officer to explain the labour process and the SSPC process that has been followed up to this one. With your permission, Chair. Thank you.
Yes, you are welcome, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We, after we have gone through this process internally of consultation, we made the submission to the Council, the SSPC. The sitting was on Monday, the 13th, where in our social partners, in principle, they agreed in terms of what was presented both at national down to station level, number one. Number two, Subway has already submitted their inputs, which we are going to consider. OPRU has submitted the inputs within the consultation, but they promise after they've met their principal by tomorrow, they will also submit their written inputs. We'll consider. We have already submitted some of those verbal inputs to the National Commissioner. So the process has taken. In principle, there's no contestation. Thanks, Chair.
The prompt report, we appreciate. Thanks, Chair. General, you can go ahead.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Chair, your first question was regarding the NDP. What I would like to cite in the Vision 2030 specification is a skilled police service. And I think in terms of the restructuring, we want to take the skills down to policing level. And it's not only skills, but it's skills and experience. The challenge that we're facing at the present moment is a drainage of experience at station level, which we want to reinstate. But also, the NDP also speak to professionalism, the definition of a professional police service, which in our view starts with a police station. And taking the authority down to station level and closer to the community and the client, we have a strong belief that the professionalization and the professional approach it's going to change. But adding to that, Chair, most of our levels at police stations, they are undermined by modus operandi development. And when we have to respond to modus operandi, experience counts. And also the skills equally count. The NDP also speaks to the creation of a safe and secure environment in which women must walk freely in the streets without any fear. But it also further talks to children playing safely in the streets. The creation of that particular environment, it requires quite a lot of strategic and operational experience and capacity. We have a strong belief that this will help. But further to that, crime prevention and visibility depends on numbers. And we want to increase the numbers at the level of the police station so that we enhance visibility. That's our thinking in terms of the NDP. The value of the cluster concept, I think I would try to be honest on this one. I think if you put a new structure in place, the only time you can evaluate the impact is after you have fully resourced it. So the cluster concept wasn't fully resourced. Therefore, it would have been premature to evaluate it. One of the examples that I've cited in the report that I got from the work study was that some of the posts, like deputy cluster commander's posts, they were never filled since the beginning. And we wouldn't have been able to fill them even within the next coming 30 years simply because they were not provided for in the personnel plan. So they were dummy posts. And if you want to create a structure that should respond to crime and policing, it must be resourced. You can't put intentions. You must put action. So, but then I have, therefore the impact of the cluster at the present moment is curtailed. I could say is a bit minimal. But I further directed that the evaluation should be extended and be intensified so that we should know whether does it give us a better policing result. The implementation coupled to vetting, I think I would like to confirm this from the previous presentation of the turnaround by CI. I think CI, HR, and crime detection and legal services, they are reviewing all the policies, including the HR policies, so that whether we hire, whether we appoint, or whether we promote, the vetting become a prerequisite in between. So I think people will be screened. That is for now. Then the movement with remuneration, I think firstly these are lateral movements. No one loses any salary or benefit, but no one also get more. There's no reason. Oh. So there are over and above the rationalization, there are posts which will be vacant beyond. Such posts are still being advertised, and there's HR projects attached to the rationalization so that we fill all posts at the police station level as part and parcel of phase one, apart from the movement. The 97, whether they demoted or they not, no one's going to lose any rank. It's a reorganization which must save the crime-fighting process and save the organization and the communities. I think at some stage I was rationalized before I became a national commissioner. Mm. Yes, and I lost nothing. Instead, I gained to be a national commissioner. Oh. If I did not accept the rationalization, maybe I was not going to be the national commissioner. I think one of the statements says, if you want to lead, you must first accept to be led. And then the acting versus the suspended, I think firstly the current acting in the organization, they are informed by two things which are situationally. One, the principle that we follow, firstly, when someone is acting, is paid acting allowance. There's a policy. And preferably, under normal circumstances, we get someone to act from the same environment. Oh. But under abnormal circumstances, you cannot then be able to allow someone from the same environment. I will make few examples. There's areas where senior officers has been suspended from certain environments due to the procurement investigations. Now, in that environment, it becomes extremely difficult for any person within that environment to make a decision. Because if the investigation comes out and implicates the boss, how does this one who's acting make a decision that my boss must be criminally charged? If the boss comes back, he's fired. So, in that case, I have made a decision in certain environments that certain lieutenant generals from somewhere must come in there and act in there. And one of the examples is forensic. I took General Makandela to act. He's got all the experience. He's more or less a non-nonsense type of a person. He doesn't accept anything that's not right. So in such principles, there will be different. The situation will dictate the approach. Then the unions, I'm sure we have explained it. I don't want to say, I wouldn't like to define the spirit. I would leave it to the unions, but we engage openly with them in terms of this exercise and in good faith. The one thing I know from unions is that they want capacity to go to the stations. That's what I know up to this one. Then the better placement of senior officers Yeah, this subject is a delicate one, but it also depends on the approach. It's not about what you say, it's about how you say it. So I personally approach them, and I sit down with them and explain the objective of the country to improve policy and why this organization should rationalize. But in the process, I also explain to them how important are their strengths in this organization. And I also try to make sure that people are placed according to their strengths, because if you place them according to their weaknesses, that's when they resist and they revolt. Mm. And any transformation doesn't go without resistance, but must be minimal existence and high level of understanding. Up to this far, there's not yet any disruption, but we still have to just push it in the correct direction, and we're taking extreme care as we'll be moving. The Deputy Station Commander Chair is my priority number one. I think at the present moment, the station commander is overloaded. Yes. And they are not able to focus more on crime. And my intention and my dream is that station commanders should be 80% operational and only deal with 20% other issues. The deputy station commanders must take charge, one in the operational leg and one in the support leg. So that's going to be one of the top priorities. The difference between the divisional commissioner and the district, firstly, the one is operational. The district is pure operational. And they are also not at the same level. The district is placed at an operational level. And the district commissioner is directly linked to crime fighting. And is expected to work on crime fighting interventions, supporting stations, and also looking at stabilization interventions so that we're able to stabilize crime. I think I dealt with the cluster concept. It will be evaluated further as we move forward. This model is informed by a work study. There's been a full-blown work study investigation. What has been presented now is just a presentation crafted out of the investigation report, but the investigation report is available. If the committee would like the whole report, we open about it, we can make it available. Or we can also, at another stage, give a full-blown, that is, work study report. But over and above that, we have also exposed it to benchmarking. Like, for instance, if I'm going to China and Thailand, that's going to be part and parcel of the benchmarking. Then, again, about the districts. The district concept is not just going to be a permanent concept. It's under pilot. And we're going to pilot it for 12 months. And after 12 months, we would like to come back to the committee and tell the committee whether it is working or not and what is our decision. We intend to address current situation and make sure that everyone has got work to do. No one is paid and is not giving anything to the state. We do expect minimal fightbacks, but we're handling this matter through the transformation process. The policing infrastructure alignment, that is going to be part and parcel of the pilot project implementation, so that we link it to the current policing infrastructure. And part and parcel of the policing infrastructure, also looking at the local policing framework that we're also developing at local level. The district versus area commissioner, those will be two completely different concepts. The area commissioner was operational and administrative. The district concept, pure operational, 100% operational. And the district commissioner will be fighting crime and will be part of the operational leg. Then the implications on short-changed officers, and which also include the re-ranking. The re-ranking project is treated as a separate project, and there's provision for it. And therefore, it's not part or affected by this. When it also comes to officers, there's no further intention by this organization to actually shortchange officers. If you place them according to their strength, there will be no need to change them. But if you place them, we do have examples which we can be open about, that some of them, after they've been placed, they went on depression. And that is what I proactively prevent. And that's why I'm also engaging senior officers myself. And so that you allow them to ventilate, allow their inputs, because some of them, they can tell you, my strengths are more on this particular side. And if there's a availability of the post on that side, why not? Because we're looking at what the organizational benefit is. There was a question on what will it do, this particular concept. Obviously, the main intention is to improve policing. Mm-hmm. And we also anticipate it to enhance operational impact. Then again, we also want to ease the fear of the communities, because there's quite a lot of crimes of fear that are taking place. We also want to uplift the pressure from the grand economic strategy, because the investor climate, it's not very conducive when we've got more crime. And there's also other crimes that deals with the moral fiber contamination and where the future of our children in the country become uncertain, and where they tracking society and do all that. We also want, that's what we also expect this concept to do, so that we create that safe and secure environment. What will happen to the district surplus? In actual fact, we wanted to take the supplies to police stations. And the same applies to the surplus at national, at provincial. Everything goes to the police station, so that we capacitate police stations and we make them self-sufficient. So the top priority is priority number one is the police station here. Once we have our police stations able to respond to crime, I don't think we will even have a need of any other level if they are actually fighting crime and they are self-sufficient. And that's the vision we're trying to move towards. The communication gap between the district, the province, and national. The district concept is not changing the command channels. The district concept is just fitting at the level of the cluster, but the command protocol remains the same. The provincial commissioner is accountable to the national commissioner. The district commissioner is accountable to the provincial commissioner. And the station is accountable to the provincial commissioner via the district. This happens with the clusters. And the command is exercised by the cluster. The 17,000 personnel, I'm going to afford General Makha to just to clarify the technicalities with your permission, Chair.
Thank you, General.
Thanks, Chair. The 17,000 plus posts that we're talking, we've got specialized units both at national and provincial level that are operating at local level. Currently, their command structure, it is not at local level. it is at provincial, it is at national level. So they are far-reaching, and the accessibility to local police station becomes a challenge. And what we say those 17,000 becomes a direct resource of a local level in terms of command and giving direction. That's a simplistic way that one can indicate that one.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, I'm also just going to answer the one question, and I'm also going to give him the last three questions then to conclude. That is the question that relates to the reflection of provincial components. I think moving forward, but starting from the current position, moving forward we want to extend the capacity of provincial units like FCS, so that we push them closer to stations, which we want to develop that capacity at the district level. But for now, the capacitation of these provincial components, which include FCS, they are part and parcel of the review criteria for resourcing. I've issued that directive. That firstly, I want to see a budget formula that talks to the distribution of the budget and as per the requirement of policing. But further to that, your physical resource criteria, including your personnel criteria. So the resourcing of the FCS and other similar units at provincial level is going to be beefed up through this particular process. And they are also not excluded from the rationalization process, because although they are at the level of the province, but their job is functional. It's functional policing. So that the rationalization is not going to miss them. Then, Chair, there's the three questions, 11 divisional commissioners versus 10, and then the 50, the clusters, which include Western Cape, where General Makgatho will explain them. Are you there, General?
General, can you assist us? Thank you.
11 versus 10.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you were to reflect that structure, maybe the question, the member missed the CFO. Yeah, the CFO is an equivalent of a divisional commissioner. Yeah.
Clarification?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Chair, there's the last one, Western Cape, the district. Thank you.
The Western Cape, there are two specific issues in the Western Cape, and I'll also couple that one with the Northern Cape. Western Cape, the metropolitan, already the comments from the province that the metropolitan is too huge. We must re-look at its further rationalization. So there is an exercise that is ongoing for that one. And there is also one district at the level of a brigadier, which is lower than that one. We are also engaging the province to see how best can we do the demarcation of that, or we remain with the status quo. But there are discussions as we're moving forward. The same as those, the one in the Northern Cape. The two, they have most of their station commanders are in the rural police station, farm police stations, which are manned by captains or so. So it is part of the discussion that we will refine as we move forward.
General?
Yeah, Chair, maybe in closer from my side, this is a subject which might have been treated in a close type of an approach. But I think we're now transparent about it to the committee, and my suggestion and recommendation is that the committee owns up to it and hold us accountable, so that we are able to keep on reporting to the committee what is the impact of structures that is on policing, and we will continuously appreciate the inputs of the committee, and we are not going to take them lightly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. We come to 1 o'clock. We're going to close. The contract management will go with the first quarterly, unfortunately, but I think members have, they know it by heart, so they can just ask the questions. I think it was two very important briefings that we received today.
because if we look at the latest surveys and the Markinor poll, crime is one of the top two issues that citizens are very concerned about in the country. And if I look at the number of emails and SMSs I'm receiving compared to a year ago, and I look what the inbox of the members of the committee says, there is a huge concern. So it must be addressed as a priority. So crime intelligence has got a huge task, apart from the confidence, because there needs to be confidence in that institution, the turnaround, there's a lot of issues that must be dealt with. So there's a huge task. The committee, of course, will support efforts and measures to ensure that that environment is turned around, and we're looking forward to the fruits of that structure. But again, corruption, corrupt officials, corrupt cops must be dealt with head on. And then secondly, we also appreciate the presentation on the new structure. Of course, in terms of the NDP, the police professionals, they must come up with the structures. Of course, we will analyze and criticize where we see some gaps, and we will also wait the final product that will come to the committee at a later stage. But I think it's important, as the National Commission, a lot of members said, the top leadership must be at the coalface level. Because if we don't have the confidence of the communities in terms of the station and cluster commanders, we're not going to move forward. There must be confidence in that leadership level. So this is a very important exercise, and we'll monitor it closely. Thank you very much. Members will meet 9 o'clock on Tuesday. Thank you very much.
Really, absolutely brilliant. Super. Thank you very much.